Every lap in under a minute means every second matters. Bosch Power Tools Perth Super Sprint, May 17 to 19. Book now at Ticketek. Supercars, unforgettable.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
A Motorsport Podcast Network production.
Great to have you on board. It is Ryko Rewind. I'm Aaron Noonan. Thanks for joining me as we take a look back in the history books of Australian motorsport. And on this date, March the 15th, I'm going back to 1997. I know where I was on that day and night. Do you remember where you were on that day or night? On March 15, 1997, it was the opening round of what was then known, this is how old this is, of the Shell Australian Touring Car Championship at Calder Park on the regular circuit, not the short circuit, but the 2.2-kilometre Calder Park layout, 2.28 for those who are into their decimal places. This is the round that the V8 supercar era officially began. The category known as V8 supercars from that point on, the championship obviously was still the Australian Touring Car Championship, but it was an interesting, well, I could say weekend, but it wasn't a weekend. It was done by the Saturday evening because it was a Saturday twilight into the evening event. Three race format, sprint races back in those days. And it was the start of a new era, not just of the V8 supercar era, but for Channel 10. They were the new broadcaster from that round onwards. It was obviously a very big move in the off-season to move away from Channel 7. And remember that Calder Park had not long been back on the touring car radar because the Touring Car Championship from 1989 to 1995 didn't race at Calder. 88 was the last time when Dick Johnson won in the Sierra, and they returned in 1996 because remember that Bob Jayne with the Thunderdome and his racing had a quit sponsorship, the Victorian government program about quitting smoking was anti-tobacco. So obviously touring car racing up till the end of 95 was packed with Winfields and Peter Jacksons and Benson and Hedges and all sorts of cigarette brands. So they couldn't race at Jayne venues because of the sponsorship stance he'd taken. Once the tobacco advertising went away at the end of 1995, that changed things and the championship returned to Calder Park in 96. But on this day and night in 97, there were so many elements to this that I really wanted to step through. And I think if you're listening to this and you were there or you remember watching it, you will absolutely remember some of these elements. So Mark Scaife at the time was driving for a pretty low-key Gibson Motorsport operation. They were struggling for funding. But remember that Coopers and Lybrand, you always got to worry when an accountant's firm is sponsoring your car. There's got to be a deal gun there somewhere. The glowing disc brakes on that car when the brakes overheated and Scaife ran off the end of the pit straight, that just burns in my mind literally from the Channel 10 broadcast. Greg Murphy, in his debut in the championship, took over from Craig Lowndes, who of course was off in International Formula 3000. Murph took pole position on championship debut and won the first race. Now, if you look at the photos and the vision from that round, you'll notice something strange, that car 15, Greg's car, doesn't have the Holden windscreen banner at the top of the windscreen, which is really rare, and it stands out like you wouldn't believe when you actually look for it or notice it in photos. And I remember vividly seeing why that happened, because when the car was in those days, remember that at Calder, there's no garages on the pit lane. The cars went back from the pit lane through the dummy grid back to the garages out the back. They hadn't put the bonnet down on that car. So when the car was, I'm pretty sure from my memory, Robbie Starr was driving the car out around to the grid for obviously Greg to get in and then the start procedure to start and the warm-up laps and all that stuff. The bonnet clips weren't in, the pins weren't in, and the bonnet flapped open and smashed the screen. So they had to do a bit of an emergency screen change from memory. Or was it damaged for the first one? I can't remember. But anyway, that's why there was no Holden windscreen strip. They didn't have the time to put it on there. In the end, Murph got muscled and hustled by Russell Ingall, Alan Jones. They gave the new Kiwi bloke a couple of uppercuts and hip and shoulders on the way through. It was no holds barred racing at Calder on this day back in 97. The first race was actually in the afternoon, on a Saturday afternoon, and the last race was under lights. And, of course, the wins were shared, if you remember. Murph won the first one. Second win went to Wayne Gardner in the Coke Commodore. Glenn Seaton won the last race. But Gardner's results of 2 seconds and a win gave him the round win, and that was when he just moved to Yokohama tyres. He'd been a Dunlop guy since he formed Wayne Gardner Racing, but made the move in the off-season to swap to Yokies. Remember, open tyre era, Bridgestone, Dunlop, Yokohama. We had Hoosier in there for a time as well with some privateers. It was a very different time to how it is at the moment. So Gardner won the round, and that was his first and only Touring Car Championship round win. Of course, as the year ran on, the team ran tight on money, so he had to miss some of the time racing. But it was a real breakthrough round under lights for Gardner to get that win. That car, that WGR number 7 Coca-Cola Commodore, is around still. It is being restored. I can't wait to see that car come back out in that livery, because it should be as it won, at Calder in 1997. Look at the field. I'll just read you out some of these names. So Gardner won the round from Glenn Seaton, Russell Ingall. Murph was fourth with a first and 2/7. Alan Jones fifth in the Komatsu car. Remember that the pack leader deal went away after a year and he was still with the Stone Brothers, but under the Alan Jones Racing banner still. John Bauer sixth, Scaife seventh. Peter Brock had a bit of an off day. It was eighth. Perkins ninth, and Steve Ellery in the Konica Falcon run by Tony Longhurst's team rounding out the 10. 28 cars in the field for that first round at Calder. And I think sometimes people telling the history of V8 supercars, the V8 2-liter war, all that sort of stuff, I've heard people say that, you know, for that first round in 97, there was barely any cars and 2 litres were about to beat V8s. There were 28 cars on the grid at Calder in 97. It was a healthy, healthy field. Who else was there? Well, best of the privateers and winner of the privateer dash was Mark Poole, the Scots transport car. That was the Larry Perkins 93 Bathurst winning Commodore. John Faulkner was in the mix in the privateers. Steve Richards wasn't a privateer in 97, but he was in the mix too. Dick Johnson, Larko, Terry Finnegan, Chris Smurden, Steve Reed, Darren Hossack on his V8 supercar debut in the Wins Commodore. Remember, we talked to Hoss late last year, just before Christmas, here on the V8 Sleuth podcast. So you can catch that in this stream that you're listening to this episode of Ryko Rewind. Wayne Russell, Malcolm Stenikin, Kevin Heffernan, the late John Trimble, Sean Walker from WA, Danny Osborne, Paul Romano, and Ian Palmer. Some names from the V8 supercar past. 20 Commodores and 8 Falcons competing on this day back in 1997. The opening round of a new era of what was then now known as V8 supercar racing. We call it supercars today. If you want to relive, by the way, that 97 Calder race, I've got a way for you to do this that you haven't had before. This is a special round to me because in 1997, that was the first meeting I attended for motorsport news. I covered the Formula Ford support race. Garth Tander, Marcus Ambrose, Todd Kelly, Greg Ritter, a bunch of great drivers in the category that year. And it was the first time my name was in print in motorsport news. And if you want to read that Calder issue to really look into what happened to who in the V8 supercar round, maybe you want to read the Formula Ford report. It wasn't some of my best work, I've got to tell you. We have now made the back archive of motorsport news available digitally for you to access online. Click the link in our show notes and you'll be able to go to this issue 97 and check out all of the other stuff that we've got there. Editions of the magazine era, the newspaper era, every e-news as well. We've got a massive amount of digitization done. There is a bit more to be done. There'll be more about it on our website soon, but I thought if you wanted to read more about it, jump on and have a look. It's pretty cool going back through the files. It's great to go through some of this history on Ryko Rewind. Of course, they are the official filtration partner of the Repco Supercars Championship of Motorsport Australia and, of course, here at V8 Sleuth. And your choice should be Ryko Filters. They've got the best oil, air, fuel filters. They are the filtration experts in Australia and New Zealand. Check them out online, rykofilters.com.au, or have a look at their YouTube channel. I checked it out the other day. There's some cool content on there with some cool road cars, a nicely modified HSV that's running Ryko Filters in it. You really should have a look. It's a really cool video. Right, I'm done. Ryko Rewind, March the 15th, 1997. For those who remember the Calder Park round under lights, how cool was it? How great would it be to have that happen again? I'm up for some under the lights night racing. Let's do it a bit more often, and let's find a way as well to get some more racing out to Calder Park on that circuit now that it's been reborn. Great to look back on some history. Thanks for tuning in. More Ryko Rewinds in the weeks ahead. Don't forget the V8 Sleuth podcast every week. Don't forget the Motorsport News podcast. We've got it all across the Motorsport Podcast Network. But we'd love to hear your suggestions too for future Ryko Rewind episodes. What races, what cars, what drivers, what particular goings on would you like me to look into? Love to hear from you. Jump on the V8 Sleuth website, get in touch via the contact form. But in the meantime, that's me done. This has been another Ryko Rewind. I'm Aaron Noonan. I'll chat with you next time.
Every lap in under a minute means every second matters. Bosch Power Tools Perth Super Sprint, May 17 to 19. Book now at Ticketek. Supercars, unforgettable.